Well, good morning. Let's give it up for Bella sharing her story. So powerful. Thank you, Bella. And we'll come back to that in a little bit as we get into the message. But my name is Grace Marie. If I don't know you, I'm the worship pastor here. And I'm excited for us to continue the series on discipleship this morning as we continue on. So hopefully you brought your Bible and you're ready to dive in today. But I want to tell you about Christmas morning, 1996. If you're doing the math, I was around 14 years old then. And it was the most exciting morning of the year, of course, for any kid. And for months, I had been trying to convince my mom that I really needed this particular Christmas present. And it started with me just constantly tapping at the table. Okay? And then as I progressed, I was like, oh, I've been pretty good. And then I realized that when I would ride in the car with her, I started just full-blown going on the dashboard, you know, playing a beat constantly. And I noticed that any song that came on the radio, I could keep a beat to it. So I start trying to show her, hey, mom, like, I got natural rhythm. I'm like, I'm kind of good at this. Like, look, I can keep both of my hands going, and I match the song. And she's like, no, Grace Marie. And I'm like, no, I can't. So I actually think you need to get me a drum set for Christmas, okay? Every parent's nightmare, right? Oh, goodness. And she was like, no, that's impractical. But I continued to be like, but look, I can do this. I think I could be really good at it. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. But it was to my surprise that Christmas morning when I came around the corner and the Christmas presents were set up that my parents had gotten me my very own drum set. Now, truth be told, I still have all the drum pieces from that drum set still at my house today as a little memory set up in the corner. But I was so excited about getting my own drum set. Little known fact that drums, even though I'm on the worship team here, drums was actually my first instrument and the first time I ever played in a praise team circa 2001. I was the praise team drummer. So shout out to the people who let me try that. But it was fun learning to play the drums. And I remember it was only about 4 days into it that my parents immediately regretted that they bought me the drum set. And it was fueled by the complaints from the neighbors, of course, and the phone calls of my constant playing. Because what I would do is for hours, I would sit in my room and I would play with my little CD player. Shout out if you don't know what a CD is, ask your neighbor. My CD player, I would put it on, I'd put on my headphones, and I would sit there and play CDs like No Doubt and Oasis. Anybody from the 90s? Oh, come on, there we go. I would play those songs, and I would listen, and I would try my best to get in rhythm with the actual song. And what I learned very quickly was that when it comes to playing the drums, there are a lot of moving parts, okay? I realized that, okay, it wasn't just this hand and this hand that I needed to keep the beat. I also had to keep the kick beat with this foot, and I had to keep things going with my left foot with the hi-hat cymbals. There was a lot of moving parts when it came to playing the drums. And I realized that there were moments when maybe I started to rush and play too fast, or I started to drag and play behind, but the song always stayed on beat and in rhythm. If there was a change, it's because I wasn't playing it right and I wasn't in sync. And I also noticed that there were maybe times where maybe I was doing really good with my hands, but guess what? If I got off with the kick beat here, it didn't make the song sound right. So there were a lot of things that needed to sync up and work together to actually sound like a song. We got a few drummers in the room this morning. They know what I'm talking about. See, last weekend we introduced a series called Rhythm. And our desire is to teach through what the Bible actually teaches about being a disciple of Jesus. Because being a disciple of Jesus means living into certain cadences and certain rhythms for your life so that you can take certain steps of faith. Now, the mission of Mount Horeb Church, I hope y'all have heard it because we say it many times, but the mission here is to make mature and mobilize disciples who magnify Jesus Christ. And if that is what our mission is going to be, I think it's really important that we actually spend time talking about what does it really mean to be a disciple? If we're all about making disciples and becoming disciples, what does that mean? How do we actually take steps to be the disciple that Jesus has called us to be? And so, little side note, if you weren't here last week when we introduced this series, we also have a little booklet that goes along with this series that you can follow along We passed out 2,000 of them already between last week and the 9 o'clock service. So we don't have any at guest services. We hope to have more this Sunday and the next Sunday. But you can get these online on our website as well to follow along. But the big thing that we've introduced last week and for this whole series that we're going to be teaching is our discipleship rhythm. It's on page 5 of this if you want to look at it. But here it is on the screen. Our discipleship rhythm, it means a disciple of Jesus lives faithfully, communally, generously, humbly, and missionally. Faithfully, communally, generously, humbly, and missionally. And as we said last week, Pastor Michael said this, this is not a program to complete, but a rhythm to repeat. That we should be, as disciples of Jesus, ever increasing and growing in these areas as they all work together to help us be a disciple. Now, here's the reality. We can look at that and be like, that's overwhelming. I don't know how I can do all of that. It's kind of like when I was explaining learning to play the drums. There are a lot of moving parts that have to get in sync. But what we're going to do is we're going to take the next 5 weeks of this series and we're going to go in depth into each one of those so we can look at what it actually means to be a disciple. That's what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to dive into this. The theme verse for this series is Galatians 5:25, which is this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You see, God is inviting us, every person here, every person listening today, to get in rhythm, to take the next step that he is calling you to take when it comes to your faith and how you can live faithfully, communally, generously, humbly, and missionally. So let's go in this morning. It's going to be the first one that we're going to dive into. A disciple of Jesus lives faithfully. A disciple of Jesus lives faithfully. And to do that, we're going to walk through a passage of scripture in the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bible, you could turn to the book of Psalms, or it's also going to be on the screen, and you can follow along. The first chapter in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, we're going to read this. I'm going to read it for us, verses 1 through 3, and this is what it says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, notice this. The first thing that this psalm does, is it shows us about how to be faithful is to show us a picture of unfaithfulness. It first shows us a warning about how not to live. It contrasts a faithful life to an unfaithful life. It says to be blessed, to walk in the ways of God, there are things you should not do. There is a way you should not go. There is a path you should not take. But if you're going to faithfully follow after God, there are things you should do. There are things that should come from your life. You see, for you to experience the life that God really has for you, it matters who you're walking with, standing with, and sitting with. You see, from the get-go, our discipleship journey, it begins with a decision. It begins with a decision. Living faithfully starts with who you're following. Think about that. Living faithfully starts with who you're following. Every human must make the decision for themselves to either follow Jesus and the ways that he has asked us to trust him with our life, or to follow the world and to follow your own way in this life. And let me just say this, that nothing else in this discipleship rhythm that we've introduced, nothing else about what we're going to talk about in these following weeks really matters if we don't get this one right. Because you could try to be as missional as you want to go out and do good in the world, but if it's not really rooted in you having a relationship with Jesus, it's not going to do any good in your for your own heart and soul. You have to have this right first. And guess what? You can give all the money in the world. You can be as generous as you want. But if you don't have this part, then it's not going to be flowing from this life that God has called us to. Because living faithfully means you've decided to live a faith, a life of faith where you are trusting and believing in what Jesus says is best for your life. That's the way he's called us to. But notice in verse 1, what does it say? It shows us that the unfaithful one does the opposite of what God asks. Their steps are in the opposite direction. And do you see the progression that's taking place? Look at verse 1 again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now notice this. There is a gradual move and a progression when it comes to sin, isn't it? You see, there is a walking, and then there is a stopping and standing, and then there is a sitting. And we'll talk through each of those for a minute, but one pastor said it this way: this progression and this analogy that's used in Psalm 1 is really there to help us understand what it means to think, behave, and belong. That at first, when it comes to a life of sin, there is a way you begin to think. It affects your thinking and how you're being influenced. That when you start choosing to go a certain direction, when you began to think, when you began to walk in step with the wicked, that's what it's referring to. Walking in step is like getting advice or getting counsel from someone. And when you choose to start being influenced in that way and walking and choosing that direction, at some point it says it doesn't stop there, because then there's a standing, there's a stopping, there's a path that you take. That's what it means there, the way or the path. There is a certain direction. And at this point, the person who is walking with the wicked is now saying, oh, I'm going to behave like them also. But it doesn't stop there. It continues. And it's not just the walking and the standing. But then you see the visual of someone sitting. And it says, sitting in the seat of mockers. People who completely reject who God is. There's a progression of sin. There's a slippery slope. And the thing about this passage that I think is so interesting for us is that people often wake up in this spot. People don't set out to get at this spot usually, but they realize they're here. They're in a place where they're rejecting the ways of God. They're not following him. And it's like, how did I get here? And the answer is one unfaithful step at a time. A slow, gradual compromise. That's how someone gets here. But the beauty of the gospel, and this is what I hope everyone hears today, the beauty of the gospel is that at any point, Jesus is inviting us to turn around, to repent of our sin, and to actually walk back towards him. And guess what? How you go from an unfaithful to a faithful life is one faithful step at a time. That is how we can begin to change. And that's what we're invited into. Notice what it says in Psalm 1:2, describing the person who does choose to walk in the ways of God. It says, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. You see, for the one who has decided that God's word and God's ways are the right way to live, their life will head in a completely different direction. Saying yes to Jesus should change things. Responding to the call of Jesus to come follow me will move you down a completely opposite path of living. And this person that chooses to live their life by being influenced by the word of God, they recognize that God calls them to think differently, to behave differently, because they belong to Jesus. You see, faithful living needs faithful guidance. Faithful living needs faithful guidance. The psalmist tells us this. The psalmist tells us that this kind of person delights in God's word. This type of person meditates on its truth day and night. It's shaping every area of their life, in the daytime and the nighttime, in public and in private. I'll repeat that one. In public and in private, in decisions and in discernment, in thought and in action. And while one path is influenced by the world and the wicked that walk that way, on the other path, one's every step is guided by God's word. I love what it says in Psalm 119, 105 about the word. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." I mean, some of you this morning may be like, ooh, try to follow after God. That sounds scary. That sounds like, how am I going to find my way? That sounds difficult. Guess what? Every step is in trust and in faith that God will lead you, that God will light your way. And when you begin to take steps being led by God's word, you will think differently, you will behave differently, and it will be evident who you belong to. Let's go back to the video we watched several minutes ago of Bella Duncan. What a powerful testimony. I was so encouraged by her story because she shared how she has drastically changed since saying yes to following Jesus. She's turned around from this path and said yes to following Jesus. And she talked about the importance of how every step from here on is being led by the guidance of God's word. She's not just out there trying to figure it out. She is taking steps by being led by God's word daily, by being connected to him in the spiritual disciplines of prayer and worship corporately. And because of her decision to follow Jesus, you notice she says this? She says, because I've chosen to follow Jesus, there are things I won't do. There are things that I won't participate in. There's a path I won't go down. But then the opposite is true. She says, because I'm following Jesus, there are things I should do. There are things I'm going to do. There's a way I'm going to walk. That is what it means to choose the path of following Jesus. And everyone has that choice to make. Look at what it says in Jeremiah 6:16. If you are still with us and following along in the Bible recap, we've been reading through the Bible this year. We've been in the book of Jeremiah recently, about to close it out. But here's a verse from Jeremiah 6:16. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Such a good challenge, because God is inviting everyone to take that step towards the path of life. And we've seen here in the book of Psalms already that the picture that the psalmist paints of someone who has chosen the path of the world for guidance compared to someone who has chosen the path of the word for guidance. So let me ask you this. The question for us is, what's the result of that? What's the result of someone who chooses a life to be faithful, who chooses to be faithful? What's the result? This is what it says in verse 3 of Psalm 1. It says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers. I love the picture that this verse we see a tree that has been intentionally planted. The verse there really means like a replanting. It's been intentionally planted by the source that it needs to thrive, which is water. And a tree that's been planted by the stream, guess what's so beautiful about that? It has continual access to the water. Its roots go down deep, which will only help the tree thrive and bear fruit. The one who is faithfully following God will be like a tree planted by streams of water. And guess what? When you are connected to the source, life will happen. It's a natural result. When you're connected to the source, life will happen. If life isn't happening, if fruit isn't coming, if you're remaining in a season of being barren in your life spiritually, you may need to ask yourself if you are connected to the source, Jesus. This doesn't mean that life is always wonderful and grand, but it believes that something is being produced in your life that is rich and that is fruitful. And if not, we may not be connected to the source. You see, if you want to know if you're being faithful, see if you're being fruitful. If you want to know if you're being faithful, see if you're being fruitful. That's a hard thing to assess, isn't it, sometimes? To walk in the rhythm of faithfulness, this cannot be occasional. This is where the Western church has gotten it so wrong. The spirituality in the church is becoming this little nicety, a little addition that people have, instead of it being something that's a continual connection that they have. Because here's the hard truth. Occasionally gathering for worship won't sustain you. Occasionally reading your Bible won't nourish you. Occasionally practicing spiritual disciplines like prayer won't connect you. Now hear me. Occasional is better than never, okay? We get it. It's a process, and it's a step. But if you are a growing disciple, there should be an ever-increasing measure of faithfulness and fruitfulness from your life. You may say, well, what does that really look like? I love what it says as it tells us the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The passage is on the screen as well. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here's the question. Are you becoming more loving? Are you becoming more joyful? More peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, more self-controlled? Because if you want to know if you're being faithful, if you're here this morning and like, am I a faithful disciple? Ask yourself, am I being fruitful? Or better yet, this is scary, ask three people close to you if you're being fruitful. Ask a spouse or a parent or a coworker or a friend. And disclaimer, please don't blame me for any fight that may result in asking. It may open up a whole can of worms. But the reality is, your life should be increasing in this fruit. We don't get it perfect without the Spirit perfecting us and making us, helping us walk in that. But guess what? It should be growing. If we're really connected to the source, that's the results that would be coming, life, from us. I've been a member of the gym, Planet Fitness, for almost 2 years now, and I'm not like some crazy workout person. I'm not like training for a marathon or anything, but I try to go like 3 times a week, do a little cardio, do a little light weights, and recently I discovered that you could upgrade your membership, okay? I go to Planet Fitness because it's super affordable, and I don't feel guilty if I don't go for like a month, okay? But here's the thing. I discovered about three months ago you could upgrade to something called the PF Black Card. Anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, I'm about to blow your mind. They gave me a little trickeroo because they were like, here, we're going to give you a free pass to our access room, our PF Black Fitness room. And I'm like, wait, what? So then I go in, it's one day access. And I realize that this whole separate side of the gym is full of massage chairs, okay? And hydro massage beds. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. And then light therapy rooms and dim lighting and calming music. I'm like, wait a minute. It took me one time on the hydro massage bed and I was like, take my money. All right, upgrade me right now. And I am now a PF Black Card fitness member as well. But here's the thing. Once I upgraded, this is the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to work when you go to the gym and you get your workout in and you've gotten your reps and your sweat and then, you know, you've done the work and then you go to the recovery room, you know, to kind of wind down and just like get your massage or whatever. And I'm telling you that on more than one occasion, I have been tempted, like, I got 20 minutes. Should I go get a massage at the gym? Okay. I've been tempted to just go to the gym for the recovery room. I don't know what I'm recovering from, like a hard day at work, maybe. But I haven't given into that yet. I've tried to keep it in its place. And it's not that there's anything inherently wrong with going and getting the massage or the hydro massage bed. But I believe if I started telling people, like, yeah, I got up and went to the gym this morning, and that's what I meant, I believe I would be missing the point of what it meant to go to the gym. Because I can't go to the gym like that and spend all my time in the recovery room with the nicety part and think I'm going to get the actual results that I want when I go and engage with a workout. And I was thinking about this recently because I believe, unfortunately, that our churches today, our churches are filled with people who may be missing the point of going to church but never engaging with God. I believe people oftentimes, not because they're bad things, but they may come and they may have some good hallway conversation. They may high-five someone in the parking lot. They may have a really good biscuit and coffee from the cafe. They may listen to some really good music by a really great band and be like, yeah, that song was really good. And then they may walk out of these doors every week, never truly engaging with God. Never truly engaging with God in prayer, in worship, in repentance, in the scriptures. You see, it was never about just going to church. It's about engaging with God in your walk alongside of others who are seeking to walk that same path of faithfulness. Just going to church will not change you. That's a step. We're glad you're at church. But guess what? Just going to church won't change you. You actually need to engage with God while you're here. Lean in. Allow him to grow you if you want to get the results of a fruitful life, like a tree planted by streams of water. I love what author and speaker John Bevere says about this discipleship process. He says, discipleship isn't a one-time event. It's a commitment to faithfulness day after day. You see, being committed to the daily and the weekly disciplines of following Jesus will only make you stronger. It's not about the rules of doing these certain disciplines. It's about the results that you want in your life. Because here's what's true. Faithfulness grows through consistency, but it's proven through adversity. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Faithfulness grows through consistency, and it's proven through adversity. Consistent time in God's word and prayer with God's people will only increase your level of faithfulness. And as your faithfulness to God, his word, and his ways grows, guess what? You will be able to withstand the trials that come your way in this life. I love what Jesus says in the book of Revelation to one of the churches. This is what it says, Revelation 2:10, about faithfulness. It says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. See, the promise from Jesus when we remain faithful to the very end is that it will be worth it because we will have the reward of life everlasting. Amen? Yet we can see from that verse, the faithful life ain't the easy life. I can guarantee you, if you're looking for the easy life, this is the path to walk, at least on this side of heaven. This is the path. It's a lot easier to walk in the ways of the world. But guess what? The life of following after God and in the ways of Jesus is a peaceful life, not an easy life, but it's a life of fruitfulness and all the good things that God wants to do in your life. There will be difficulties, there will be hardships, but will you be able to stand firmly, and will you be able to remain faithful to the end, is the question. In the early 90s, there was an incredible experiment that took place. It was a 3-acre mini world that was created in Arizona called the Biosphere 2. I actually gave this illustration in a sermon about 3 years ago, but it's so good, it really works well for this as well. But here it is, this is the Biosphere 2, and it was intended to recreate Earth's ecosystems and be sustainable for all living things, including humans. And so 8 scientists agreed to lock themselves in and live for 2 years. And they were able to observe many fascinating things about the atmosphere. But there was something really interesting that happened inside of the biosphere. The trees grew so quickly. I mean, the trees grew so fast, faster than it did actually outside in the normal natural world. But they would also quickly die and fall over. So the trees kept growing fast, and they're like, why is this happening? And then they would never mature. They would grow quickly and then never mature, fall over, and die. So the scientists began to try to figure out what's happening, why is this happening? And here, after many attempts of trying to figure it out, here's what they found out. There was no wind. There was no wind in the biosphere. They didn't create the wind because wind would be seen as like a negative thing. They didn't create the wind, so without the wind, the trees did not develop the deep root system that in turn would help them mature. There was no wind, there was no adversity, there was no struggle, there was no challenge, so there was no need for them to have deep roots. Therefore, they couldn't become strong, healthy trees reaching maturity. You see, unfortunately, we tend to look at life's difficulties and life's storms as a threat, don't we? But what if the adversity that we're facing is actually there to deepen you, not destroy you? To actually force your roots to go down deep into the source of life, which will bring the fruit from your life. And let me just say this, please don't wait for a crisis to hit to care about developing deep roots and maturing. Begin to walk consistently now so that when it hits, you will be able to withstand. So your faithfulness will be proven in your life. It'll be proven in your life when you go through adversity. Recently, our church lost a wonderful godly man. His name was Randall Robinson, and he had grown to be a really dear friend of mine over the last few years, and he was diagnosed with ALS back in 2022. And it was very difficult, very devastating news for him, for his family, for our church. And this disease, it slowly steals people's ability to function. And so there's a weakening of muscles throughout the body. And he first noticed it in his fingers. He noticed that he didn't quite have the same control over one of his fingers. And eventually he began to lose that. And eventually it affected his speech, and he wasn't able to make words anymore. Ended up not being able to speak at all. But he continued to be faithful. And even when he couldn't speak anymore, he became a part of the card ministry here, and he would send cards to people. And over the last 3 years of his life, him and I developed a really sweet friendship. It was like we were pen pals through email almost every single week. And I have kept all of these emails, and I've gone back and read some of them recently since his passing in June. But he is someone who sought to remain faithful. It was very rare for a Sunday to go by when he didn't reach out and talk about a sermon that I preached that had ministered to him. I never thought about faith or fear in that way. Thank you. Or a song that really, really touched him. It would send me emails, and we stayed in connection even when he no longer could attend in person because of his mobility issues. And I want to read for you an email that he sent me about 11 months or so before his passing. And this is what it says. I find myself thinking more and more about heaven. Jesus is my only hope. My grandmother lived to be 100, and I was the first of her 14 grandchildren. I was raised by her and my mother. She loved the Lord. She wrote me letters. And I remember she told me that none of us want to go, but we must prepare a place in heaven. I wonder if I have done enough to prepare. This bad break that I have received has turned my world upside down. I was making progress in my volunteer work. I told Pastor Jeff that the evil one has silenced me. Now I don't even know my purpose. I believe God's promises, but as this disease progresses, I cling harder and harder to my faith. Thank you for your prayers. And as I was rereading some of these emails over this last week, after he had sent this one, it was only a few weeks later that he sent me another one that said this. I wrote this in my journal this morning. Stand firmly in the place where your dear Lord has put you and do your best there. I thought, wow. Stand firmly where the Lord has placed you. Here's the thing. Randall's faithfulness was only proven through the adversity and difficulties he faced in his last few years of life. He could stand firmly. He could remain faithful because his life of faithfulness to God and his word and his ways had grown over years of consistency. He had deep roots, and I believe Randall Robinson heard the words from Jesus when he left this earth. Well done, good and faithful servant. See, this morning, no matter where you are on your faith journey, the beauty of the gospel, like I said earlier, is that you can turn around and take your next step of faith towards him, trusting and believing in Jesus, who he is and what he's done. That's the first decision you can make if you haven't made that decision before. The second thing you can do practically is just begin to follow the practices and the disciplines to get the results that this passage even talks about. Attending worship, being in community together, seeking to live into this discipleship rhythm, being in prayer, being in the word, and then the results from your life will be this fruit. Over this past week, I've been thinking about a hymn that I grew up on. I grew up singing hymns. And I don't think any hymn captures this message better than I have decided to follow Jesus. If you know it, I'm going to invite you just to sing these simple words with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I hope and I pray that it's the longing of our heart for each one of us to hear the word from Jesus that day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. God, we are grateful to open your word today, to walk through your scriptures today. I pray that our hearts would be open more and more to who you're calling us to be. Lord, for the people in this room today who are struggling at a crossroads to decide to say yes to following you, I pray that they would take that next step of faith and say yes. I pray for those of us who have been on this faith walk for a while or on this journey that we would continue to walk in step with you to see the fruit from our lives. Lord, may we continue on to be faithful to the very end. It's in the holy and the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.